Hello, this is Pastor Travis George, Lake Hamilton Assembly of God Church. I want to welcome you to our podcast. We're about ready to join in on one of our recent Sunday services that has already begun. So get ready to enjoy some powerful preaching with some timeless truths from the Word of God.
This morning I want to talk to you about a church building. Not the physical building that we're worshiping in here this morning of wood and nails and, you know, all the other components that make up this physical building, but living stones that comprise the spiritual house of the Lord. In the New Testament, we're given some pretty descriptive images to talk about the church, which is the body of believers. It's described as a family into which we are born again with God as our Father and many brothers and sisters in the faith. This week, unexpectedly, Wednesday, I got a phone call. Pray for Aunt Willa. She's very ill. And before we even got to come to church and have prayer meeting, have prayer with the body, I got another phone call back that said Aunt Willa has already exited this life. And while that's your sad anytime a loved one passes, thank God I know that she knew Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we don't have to mourn as someone who doesn't know Christ mourns. We know that there's going to be a family reunion one of these days, and the scripture says when we're taken out of this life that we will both know other people and we will be known. So I don't think there's going to have to be a big lot of introductions that take place in heaven. I think we're just going to know our brothers and sisters in Christ somehow the same way we're going to be changed from this old mortal into something immortal. We're going to know and we're going to be known. However it takes place, I'm looking forward to that family reunion. Amen. I've got a lot of folks on the other side of this thing that I'm looking forward to seeing again. But above all of that, I'm looking forward to meeting face to face my God and my Savior, who has given me the opportunity to be a part of this family. The church is also described as a kingdom, and we're citizens in that kingdom with Jesus ruling as our King. And other scriptures talk about the church as a body or as an army that's marching under the orders of Jesus Christ as our commander in chief. But this morning, I want us to turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2. And I want you to look down about verse number 4. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4. Amen. Those of you that are turning pages, I'll give you a second to get there. Praise God. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now, verse 9 is one of my favorite verses of the Scripture. But ye are, he's talking about those that reject Christ until you get up to verse 9. And he's saying, but you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness. Into his marvelous light. Amen. In times past you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. That is a wonderful passage of Scripture, and I guess I learned that by memory by an old song. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness, out of darkness, out of darkness, into His marvelous light, into His marvelous light. What a wonderful song. What a wonderful scripture. We've been called. You've been chosen. You've been selected. Let me tell you, that's a marvelous thing, a marvelous promise that God has given us here. This year, as we start off 2015, we're focusing on church outside this box, this room, this box. And we talked about, on the first Sunday of the year, we talked about letting God do a new thing. And then on our weather Sunday, when we had the threat of ice and snow, we talked about getting outside the box through evangelism. And today, I want to talk to you about the church outside the box is a church built on fellowship, built on interconnectedness. And so looking at second, you know, at this scripture from 1 Peter chapter number 2, it talks about the connectedness of the church. The first thing I want you to notice is that we are God's building. Peter says that we come to Him as a living stone who was rejected by men but chosen of God and precious, and we are lively stones, are living stones built up a spiritual house on this cornerstone that is Jesus Christ. There's a story. I'm a history nut, and I love to read history. And there's a story about ancient Sparta that the king of Sparta received a visiting delegation from another kingdom. And while they were being entertained by the king of Sparta, he kept talking about the walls of Sparta. An enemy will never be able to break the walls of Sparta. The walls of Sparta are mighty and strong. There's no stronger walls than the walls of Sparta. Well, this visiting delegation from another kingdom had come in on, you know, camels or horses or whatever they had come in, and they didn't remember seeing any walls, and so they're wondering, well, what in the world is this guy talking about? You know, I didn't see any walls. And so finally, after this king keeps going on about how great the walls are, he said, can we ask a question? Where are these great walls? Because we came in on the main road and we didn't see these great walls. Where are these great walls? So the king called an aide to him and he gave a command, and that aide rushed out of the throne room, and in a little while all these soldiers began marching out in front of the palace and began assembling in formation. And soon there were hundreds of soldiers of Sparta with their shields and their spears lined up in formation. And when they all got lined up there and their armor was glimmering in the sun, the king looked at his visitors and he said, there's the wall of Sparta. It's his soldiers. It's his troops. Folks, let me tell you, why am I telling you that story today? Because God is not glorified by the great buildings that we might build Him. In fact, the scripture says, heaven is His throne and the earth is His footstool. Where is the house that we can build unto the Lord? Oh, folks, you know, there's some beautiful churches around, but when God looks with pride, and I believe that He looks with pride on His church, on the blood-bought, on the redeemed, not on the building that we build Him, but on us. As living stones in the house of God, we are what makes the kingdom of God strong. We are the defense in this world. Oh, Pastor, that's putting too much on us. No, I'm telling you, God has chosen to do what He's going to do in the world through the church of God. He's chosen to do His work through us. He could send angels. He could create some other kind of being and send them. He could use eagles if He wanted to. But He's using you and He's using me as living stones built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it's not about being built upon anything else except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul said it this way in Ephesians chapter number 2. Now therefore, he said, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ Himself is the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. I'm telling you, folks, that Paul in Ephesians 2 has been talking about being a citizen of the kingdom of God, and then he switches his imagery and he talks about being built up into a house where God can exist, where God can dwell. I want to tell you, folks, that it's not possible for us to be a household of God, for us to be a house of God, if there's not some relationship, if there's not some interconnectedness that has to go on. You see, when you look around at this building that we're worshiping in now, sometime in the past, this building that we're worshiping in right now was a stack of lumber somewhere, a pile of nails somewhere, a roll of carpet somewhere, huh? A bunch of electrical cords and wiring piled up somewhere, and somebody went to a lumber yard and said, "I need this many two-by-fours, and I need this many nails, and I need this many square foot of carpet." And they brought all those things together on this location, and in just a little while, there was a building having been connected. But as long as those two-by-fours were still at Lowe's, and the carpets was at the carpet store, and the wires were at the electrician's, it wasn't a church, was it? That's pretty simple, right? You can follow that logic. But when somebody, some carpenter, somebody with a plan, listen to me, when somebody with a plan brought them all together and on this place assembled them and connected them together with screws and with nails and with glue and with all the things that went into making this building, suddenly they were a house in which God could dwell in His Spirit. And I know that when we come into the Lord's house on the Lord's day, the Spirit of the Lord is with us in this place. Folks, let me tell you, it is not by accident that God looked out at the various places where you and I were assembled. Some of you, he came from other states, and he pulled in from other places out of state. Some of us, he relocated from other parts of Arkansas, and we moved us together. And suddenly, right here on January the 25th, 2015, here we all are assembled as stones right here at Pleasant Hill, right here in this community, right here at Lake Hamilton Assembly of God, not by accident, but because God had a plan, and he brought us all together that we might be a living house that the Holy One of Israel might dwell in. Folks, I'm telling you, we are created for a purpose, and we are serving a master who has a plan. I remember as a kid, way back yonder, there used to be a television program that I watched called That's Incredible. And that's a long time ago. But on that show, I remember them talking about, you've all heard of Winchesters, right? Winchester makes guns. An heir of the Winchester fortune began to build a home. And she began to build on that home. And for some reason, she thought that if ever she quit building on this house, that something bad was going to happen. She was under this delusion, I guess. But she kept building and building and building and building on that house. And now there'll be a staircase that leads up to nothing. There'll be doors that open to nowhere. The house has, I don't know how many dozens of bedrooms. I don't know how many dozens of fireplaces. It has so many bathrooms. She just kept building and building. There was no plan. I can't quit building. There's a curse on our family. If I quit building, it's a crazy story, right? But folks, she built without a plan, and now all the millions that she spent into that house, it could have been something of, wow, what a spectacular place. But now it's something that causes people to look on them and say, what a nut. How they've wasted their money. What could she have done with that money? Look it up sometime, the Winchester Mansion, and you can see what I'm talking about. Google it. You'll find out what I'm speaking about. It covers acres and acres of ground, and it's just ridiculous. Folks, I'm using that as a point to tell you, if we build on anything other than the foundation of Jesus Christ, and with any plan other than His plan, we'll be repeating the same foolishness as that woman did, except in the spiritual, we'll be building a kingdom that will not stand and a house that will not last, because unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers who build it build in vain, right? We've got to be sure that we are built on the foundation whose cornerstone is Jesus Christ, built up a house. But what I'm wanting to really emphasize to you is the fact that we need that relationship with each other. We need that connectedness with each other. We need those times when we come together. You know, I know that my mom and dad are, I know where they live. I know how to get to their house. I know they've lived there for a long time, longer than I've been alive, and I know how to get there. And if I need them in a hurry, I know what their phone number is, and I can call them, and I can visit with them by phone. Occasionally, I can get a hold of Mom through text messaging or even Facebook from time to time. But folks, there's a time when I want to just get in the presence of Mom and Dad. There's a time that I just want to see my sister and my brother. There's a time that I just want to be in the presence of my nieces and nephews, and I want to spend some time with them. Are you tracking with me here? Folks, we are the body of Christ, and we need relationships. We are not in this battle all alone, and in fact, that's exactly the way that the enemy finds it easier to destroy us, is when we separate ourselves and alienate ourselves from the household of the body of Christ. Number one, the structure is made weaker when you take a necessary stone out of the building. And number two, the stone isn't doing what it's supposed to do when it's out there swimming at the lake or laying in the yard or rolling around the mall or whatever it's doing. It's supposed to be stuck in the, stuck is a bad word. I shouldn't have said that. It's supposed to be in its place in the body of Christ. Well, Pastor, are you trying to tell me that we can't do those other things and still worship God? Oh, yeah, you can. God is with you everywhere. But I'm trying to tell you that we've got to have some time together, church. We've got to have some time together. Amen? Would you agree to that? That there's value that comes when we join together and spend some time the same way that you may know your family's out there, but every once in a while on Thanksgiving or Christmas or a birthday or a special event, you want to get your flesh and blood family together and have some time together. The Lord wants to spend some time with us, and I want to spend some time with you, and I'm strengthened and I'm encouraged when you come and we spend some time together and we worship the Lord together as a body. Paul said this, "But now in Jesus Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one." Jesus has taken every stone, every one of us, and found a place for us in His house. Some of us grew up in church. You've always been in church. Some of you only came to Christ later in life and weren't raised in church. Some of us have not gotten off into what we as humans think of as big sin. Right? I said we. I had never done them drugs or I had never done, and we think of it as big sins. I had never committed adultery or blah, blah, blah. And some of us have been into the deepest and darkest recesses of sin. But yet here we all are. No, the roof isn't cracking. We're all here together in one body, and God is in our midst. Would anybody doubt that the Spirit of the Lord was in our midst this morning as we were worshiping God and praising Him? He's been here. You mean, even when we take folks from, Yankees and bring them down here and put them in a southern church, and God's going to, God doesn't even hold it against you folks that were born up north, wow, what do you know? And God doesn't hold it against us folks that were born in the South either. So, you know, what I'm saying is God has made a place in the kingdom for each one of us. And it's important that we find our spot and fill our role, because we're not just any building, folks. We are the temple. Well, you know, I'm saved, and I know that my name's on the Lamb's Book of Life, so it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter how I live my life. I'm right with God, and God gives me grace, and God gives me mercy. Folks, you are not just any building that God has built. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost who resides within you. And folks, let me tell you, it does matter what we do to this tabernacle. It does matter what we join this tabernacle, this temple with. It does matter, because the Spirit of the living God is within us, and we are His tabernacle. I'm telling you, folks, if I knew that somebody important was going to come by and visit me, and you'd be the same way, right? You'd be cleaning up your house. You'd be putting out your best stuff. You'd be putting on the best, you know, if the governor was going to show up, or if the president, or, you know, or somebody was going to show up. Some of you'd even have to change things around if the pastor was going to show up. And I'm smiling when I say that real big. What I'm saying is, when you know you're going to have important company, you prepare the house. Folks, let me tell you, there's no more important visitor that we're going to have in our lives than that of the Holy Spirit of the living God. And He doesn't just want to come on weekend visits. He wants to reside within this tabernacle, within this temple that He has called out of darkness and brought into His kingdom. We cannot be the church that this county needs. We cannot be the church that this city needs. We cannot be the church that our families need if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in these temples that are washed clean by the blood of the Lamb and kept pure by the power of the living God, ready and willing to serve Him at any moment. I'm telling you, folks, we need togetherness, not separateness. We need to be joined together. Not, you know, I hear about churches that are doing things. I hear about churches that are doing things like drive-in services, like a drive-in movie, where you just show up, never get out of your car, and a video message is played for you, and you can drop off your tithe or your gift in a slot on your way back out the driveway. They're doing that with funerals now. Have you heard about the drive-through funeral parlors? They just park the body in the window, and you drive by and see, That's the world that we live in. And you know what? Some of y'all are sitting back there thinking, that's a pretty cool thing, man. I can just drive by and never be troubled. Well, you know, I hear churches in Little Rock advertising that they're having a 30-minute service. I can't hardly say hello, how you doing in a 30-minute service. They're going to come and sing and hear a message and be out the door in 30 minutes. Folks, we need to have time for God. Amen. If you don't have time for God, then you've got too many things on your schedule that shouldn't be there. Amen. We've got to have time for the Almighty God. One of my cousins was telling me that they go to a church where they come together ever so often, and they'll have church for a little while, and then they go motorcycle riding after church. I thought, well, thank God that they are coming together and having church before they go on their motorcycle ride, right? You know, and not just saying, it's just a beautiful day and I'm just going to go ride my bike instead of going to church today. I'm telling you, folks, in order to be the people that this community needs us to be, we have got to allow the Holy Spirit to be in us what God wants it to be. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, that's my passion, because I want to get outside this box, this room, this sanctuary, and make a difference in Garland County. But I can't go out there with anything other than the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, with my life built upon that cornerstone, if I'm going to make a difference in the drug community, or in the homeless community, or in the whatever, the lost community, if I am not ready to go and to serve God, not just as anybody, but as a child of God. Amen. Let me... In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, Paul says, according to the grace of God, 1 Corinthians 3 and 10, according to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter, the scripture that we read just a moment ago, says in verse number 6, "Behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no wise be put to shame." Peter, in this passage of Scripture, is quoting Isaiah and quoting from the Psalms. And he points out how Jesus was rejected by men. You see, he wasn't the kind of Messiah they were expecting, so they rejected him. They stumbled over him. The rock that they considered to be a nuisance, this Jesus, that's what Peter's talking about. They rejected him and they stumbled. Instead of being the chief cornerstone of the building, they rejected him and he became a stone of offense, a stumbling stone. Reminds me of a story that I heard about back in the days of the gold rush when people were rushing out west to look for gold, crossing America in old Conestoga wagons and by foot if they had to. This one particular family was headed out west and they got somewhere out in the Rocky Mountain area and their wagon broke down. They didn't have supplies to fix it, and so they just began a homestead instead. They just said, "We're just going to settle right here. It's a beautiful place. We can farm here. There's places to plant our crops, and there's a beautiful stream running through here, and we're just going to stop right here." So they began to build their home there. In crossing the creek that was near the house, they found that there was a stone in the middle of the creek where they could get across the creek without having to wade in the deep water. They could step on that stone and go across the creek. Sometime later, after this gentleman's children have inherited the home and they're adding to it, one of the boys goes and pulls that rock out of the creek and puts it up at the porch as a step to get into the house. Long story made short, this stone that they had used for years to cross the creek and then had begun to use for years as a step to get into the house was gold. And nobody knew it because it didn't look like a shiny bar of gold. It was encrusted with other things. And they had been using it as a step to cross the creek and a step to get into the house until a prospector was coming through and stopped at the house and saw it and knew what it was. What does that have to do with us, Pastor? I wonder how many times we waste the life that God has given us on things that are other than God's purpose for our life. How much of our time, how much of our money, how much of our energy do we waste stepping on stones, you know, just life? I saw one of my cousins yesterday that I hadn't seen in years. I was talking to him at the funeral, and he said, "Life just gets in the way, doesn't it?" I thought, you know how true that is. Life just gets in the way, and the precious gifts that God has given us, so many times we use them for the wrong purposes. I can't tell you how many people I've prayed with as a pastor that they'd get a job. They needed a job, and they'd get a job, and then they got this job, and they don't ever come to church anymore. People that I've prayed, "Oh, you got to put our marriage is falling apart, and we got to get our marriage back together," and you pray with them, and you counsel them, and you try to help them, and things get better, and then you don't see them anymore. "Oh, I'm sick. The doctor said I'm about to die. I've got to have healing," and you pray for them and they get better and you don't see them in church anymore. And the human that I am, I scratch my head about that. I just don't understand it. But folks, I think I'm guilty. I think I'm guilty. All the things that God has given me, the ability to speak, the ability to work with my hands, to make money, to live, to whatever, do I really use it for the glory of the kingdom of God, or do I use it as a step stool for me. Do I really use what God has given me for the right purposes, for the right plans that God would have me to do? Why have we been built? In the few minutes that we have left this morning, before I give you an opportunity to respond, I want to talk to you about why we've been built. Peter says you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, so that you can proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and brought you into His marvelous light. You once were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy from God. You see, it's important that we don't forget the purpose for which we've been built. Have you ever heard the history of this church? Well, I won't take the time to give you the long detailed account, but what I've read in the church documents, some of you know, is that this was a school. And then the school was consolidated and it wasn't a school. But the building was here and the property was for sale and someone bought the property. But then they found out after buying the property that they could not do with it what they wanted to do with it. And the Assemblies of God was able to acquire the property. And sometime in the late 50s, right around 1960, a group of believers began a church on this spot. I've got documents about it. If you're interested, I'd be happy to let you read about it. You see, they had a plan and they had a purpose that this community needed a full gospel light to shine in this community from the top of this hill. And they began to meet here. And over the years, the parsonage has been built and church has been added onto and expanded. And some of you have been here and know you can tell this story a whole lot better than I could. Your money and your blood and your sweat has gone into building this building. But why did they build it? Why? What was the purpose of this building being built? I would hesitate to give you this. It was built that God would be glorified, to bring glory to God. It was built to shine a light into this community, that this church would be a lighthouse into this community. And it was built, number three, that we might have a place to come together. To come together. The boards and the nails and the electrical wiring and the carpet. You and me, the living stones, might come. You see, somebody in 1960, 1959 did something that's impacting my life right now. Isn't that amazing? It is to me, because God had a plan. Some of you have been here a long time. Some of you have just shown up. Some of you are just visiting today. But I'm telling you, God had a plan for this place, for this church, for this group. And we've built, as Paul said, is laid by the foundation of Jesus Christ, which was built upon by the apostles. And it's been built up, and it's been built up. It started 2,000 years ago. It's been built up. It's been built up. The world has tried to stop it. Dictators have tried to ban it. The devil has tried to wash it out. But I'm telling you, the church of God continues to be built up, continues to increase, continues to move. While we may be struggling in America to get people to listen to the good news of Jesus Christ, in Africa and in Asia, in China, in South America, and in other nations, the church is growing like wildfire. I'm telling you that although the devil may try to stop it, he cannot stop the light that shines from God's church. And folks, let me tell you something. While it may be more difficult in America right now to get our message out there, this God in America is not greater than God the Holy One. And if we will continue to preach the good news using our lives, using our words, using our hands and our feet, folks, we will see souls won into the kingdom of God. The devil cannot stop us. The politicians cannot stop us. There is no government governing body of man that can put a hiatus on it, because folks, even in the most difficult countries in this world, the Christian church is growing and moving and adding converts. I'm telling you, if they can do it where it's difficult, why can't we do it where it's easy? If they can do it where they're threatened with their life being in prison or being killed, why can't we do it where we have freedom to worship God? If they can do it under the boot heel of an oppressive government, why can't we do it where the Constitution of our government says you have the right to assemble in the place of your choice? I'm telling you, church, we can, but we've got to make room in our busy schedule of sports and recreation and work and family and fun for the Jesus Christ who was slain from the foundation of the earth. We've got to make room in our busy schedules to allow the Spirit of God to take over in our lives and to move us. We've got to be willing to make room for God in this temple of God. And I'm not just talking about our wonderful church. I'm talking about in me and in you. Does God have the space in your life and the time in your life? There's a beautiful building overseas called the Taj Mahal. If you've ever seen pictures of it, I should have brought one to show you in case you don't know what I'm talking about. And you see that and you think it's a beautiful palace that some important person must have lived in. The story behind that building, one of the most beautiful buildings in the world, is that a certain Shah was devastated at the loss of his wife. And he built this building and put her coffin in it. In fact, her coffin was placed on the ground, on the land, and the building construction began around her final resting place. As the weeks turned into months, his grief over his wife's death turned into a passion for the building. He no longer mourned her absence, but the construction of the building consumed him. One day, while he was walking from one side of the construction site to the other, his leg bumped against something. As the prince brushed the dust off of his leg, he ordered the worker to remove this thing and get it out of here. It's in the way. What he didn't even realize in his passion for the building was that he had just ordered the workers to remove the coffin of his wife and haul it out of the building. What started as a memorial to her turned into something else. You see, folks, there's a danger if we get to thinking that in the 1959, 1960, that church that was built right here was built so that my needs can be met. Well, it was built for me, to make sure that my needs are met, to make sure that I'm in comfort and I get all my wants and I get all my needs. Folks, this church was built that God would be glorified and that the lost would be saved. I'm telling you, it's all about the cornerstone. It's all about Jesus Christ and giving glory to God. And then what did Jesus say? I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. In fact, he left the 99 sheep that were safe in the church, in the fold, and he went out there looking for the one that had become lost so that he could bring it back in and have a great party, a rejoicing time when the lost was found. Church, somehow, some way, myself included in this, we've got to thinking that my church is about taking care of me. And if my church isn't taking care of me, if I don't feel good, if I don't like it, if I didn't have a good time, if I didn't get my fur rubbed the right way, then I'm not happy with my church. What I want us to ask is he happy with our church? Is the Lord happy with what's going on? Are we bringing glory to him? You see, if I never ever get to sing another song that I like, if I never ever get to feel a blessing of the Lord when I come into a church service again, if everybody always forgets about my prayer request when we come together, if the ushers don't take up the offering the way I want them to, if the bulletin isn't printed the way I like it, if all of that junk happens, I don't care. Is he glorified in what took place today? Did the preaching and the singing, I get a couple of okays out of that. I'm telling you, I think sometimes we lose sight
of what the purpose of the church is. We are safe on this lifeboat. Our name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but what about those that are still outside? What about those that are still lost? Are we willing to go to heaven while the world goes to hell? Are we willing to sit in our seat and thank God for saving us while the others that He created and who His Son died for die and go off into eternity without a Savior? I'm not willing to sit here and do nothing while others perish. I want to see them. Psalm 127 in verse number 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." So church, let me tell you, it is no accident that you've been brought into the body of Christ. He saw you, He saved you, He brought you in. He died for you. The second thing is, He's got a plan for your life. To build up the house of God, to build up the kingdom of God. Are you being used according to the Master's blueprint? Is He able to use you according to His purpose in your life? That's where the gist of this message has me going this morning. That's where the emphasis I feel like the Spirit is putting in my heart. You're saved. You're filled with the Spirit. Your name is written down, and if in God's book of life, and if your life ended right now, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. But while I'm here, am I doing what He wants me to? Am I doing His will? And that's a question that each of us need to answer this morning. Are you doing what God wants you to? Some of it, a portion of it, a percentage of it. Paul wrote to the church at Rome that we need to present our bodies as living sacrifices. You notice he uses the word holy. Not holy like H-O-L-Y, like God is holy, but holy like all of us. The whole enchilada, the whole thing. Holy. I'm afraid too often I'm guilty of giving God a percentage and thinking, well, that's enough. He only requires 10%, and why, I gave 11. And I'm not just talking about your tithe. I'm talking about life, right? What if I gave all? What if you gave all? I surrender, Lord. I surrender. Use me. Mold me. Make me. Why? Because there's too many people. Pick up the paper. Read the crime section. There's too much going on in our community for the church to be powerless and silent. Talk to your kids about what's going on at school. About what happens when they ask their friends to come to church with them. Talk to mine if you don't have a kid to talk to. Ask them. Folks, what happens, Pastor? Don't leave us hanging like that. They don't get treated very well when they ask other kids to come to church with them. We've got to be polished and sharp and anointed with the power of God so that it is not only us, but it is Christ who lives through us. And folks, I believe the rapture could take place right now. If you're watching what's going on in politics, folks, things are stirring up in the Middle East, and it ought to get your attention. It ought to cause you to pay attention to what's going on in this world in which we live in. Jesus could be coming back soon, more quickly than what maybe some of you think. So if you've got a lost friend, a lost loved one, a lost person that lives beside you, now is the time that you need to be soaking in the anointing of God's Spirit so that you can open your mouth and speak choice words from God to try to reach them before it's too late. Now I know. We can't make them accept the message. But folks, we've got to make a compelling argument. We've got to compel them. Amen. Compelling. I said compelling. Pardon me. A compelling is not a word, but a compelling is. we've got to make a compelling argument. Amen. Folks, when somebody's heard you cussing the boss and you try to invite them to church on Sunday, that's not a very compelling argument. When somebody's heard you're running down your church for whatever reason through the week, and then you say, oh, by the way, we're having a fundraiser for Mike and Lynn. Why don't you come? Maybe not. Right? Hey, I could go out of here and gripe about you, you know. You could go out of here and gripe about me. What's been built when we do something like that? But let's go out of here and give praises to our King. Amen. That's how the kingdom is built. Praise God. Father, I'm asking you right now that you would just encourage each of us to search our hearts today, God, and see what we need to do to be fully used by you today, God, because there's a world that needs us. There's a population that needs us. Our neighbors, our cousins, our nephews and nieces, they need us today, God. They need us today, and we want to see them won to the kingdom of God. I pray right now, Father, that you would help us to keep the first thing in focus, which is that we would bring you glory. The chief end of man is to glorify God. And let us remember that. God, let us also remember that our commandment and our commission is to go into this whole world and preach the good news, to tell them about Jesus. Let us not ever forget that. In the hustle and bustle of making sure that we get all of our needs met, let us not forget about the lost who need to hear about Jesus. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me this morning as we get ready to dismiss?